Hi, this is Jane Ann Liston here, replying to the on the bus story. I'm anxious that focusing on the structure of delivery, whether to move to some form of franchising or not, means that the bus services themselves and their passengers might be lost sight of, a case of not seeing the wood for the trees, if you like. A superb delivery framework for services is of no use if the buses do not run where people want to go and when they want them to go there. An example of the sort of complaints I receive from constituents is accessing the main hospitals from St Andrews, and this is perhaps especially true for outpatient appointments there and back in a day and at a particular time. Both the Victoria in Kirkcaldy and Nine Wells in Dundee require quite a long journey, and you need to change buses. Until about 3 years ago, you could get a direct bus from St Andrews to Nine Wells. That has now been discontinued. Now, this is not ideal for patients who, by definition, may not be in the best of health. It's bad enough that they're having to travel such a long distance by bus without having to change. And travelling to Dunfermline Queen Margaret and back in a day, that's a major expedition, especially from the East Nook. I have been told it can't actually be done. But even from St Andrews, although it's a direct bus, it's a long one. The other sort of point that's raised with me is buses and trains failing to connect. Now, we've had one example that's been mentioned at Dundee, where there was a bus from Wormit and our Newport area, which was going across and just happened to be connecting with a train service. The bus company has changed the bus timetable. It now doesn't connect with this train, and the bus companies have said they can't possibly run their services to take account of any other forms of public transport, which is disappointing. The perennial one is, of course, at Lucas Station, where far too often the site that greets passengers getting off a train from Edinburgh is the site of a bus shooting away from the bus stop in the direction of St Andrews, although the driver must have, of course, seen that the train was just coming in. Now, even if it's just 10 minutes that you have to wait for the next one, quite often it's a bit longer than that, that gives completely the wrong message. It suggests that the bus companies are not interested particularly in conveying the rail passengers and helping them to complete their journey. And so it's not really surprising that the great majority of people using Lucas Station or coming from St Andrews choose to drive instead. Again, one of the bus operators some time ago said no sane person would take the bus between St Andrews and Lucas Station if they had the option of driving, which I thought was a bit odd. So that's a perennial problem, and of course it's much worse if you're having to stand and wait about, and the weather's not wonderful as it is at this time of year. It's very cold, it could be wet, etc. The reference to hit or miss, what I was actually referring to there was the fact that the way passengers are consulted about proposed changes, because however diligently the consultation is carried out by the bus operator, there always seem to be some passengers who are badly inconvenienced by the change, and they come as a complete surprise to the bus operator, who wasn't aware of their existence. So there's something wrong there. But yes, an integrated approach to transport, that is essential if we're serious about persuading people to use public transport instead of private cars for the sake of the environment or just for physical congestion. It's bad enough having to change buses. We know that discourages people from using public transport. Having to change from a bus to a train or train to a bus is even less attractive, and we lose even more passengers. As I said, even 10 minutes that puts people off, and they start thinking, why don't I use that motor car that I'm paying for, that's sitting on my drive and I'm paying tax and insurance for, rather than standing around in the cold waiting for a bus? How will it be paid for? Well, I'm afraid I don't have the full budget details of all the people concerned to identify precisely where money would come from for bus improvements. But actually, I'm not convinced that the sort of things that I was suggesting are going to increase costs significantly. Better connections are hardly going to do that, surely. But if you have better connections, then that sort of improvement might well result in more bus passengers, and that means increased revenue. So that's starting to balance up any costs that there might be. And that should be very welcome for the bus operators, because for years bus usage has been declining and doesn't seem to show any signs of picking up again. I'd like to think that the Scottish Government, as a result of this consultation, would put passengers first, put them at the heart of any bus strategy which they're going to come up with, and make the convenience of passengers the first consideration. Now, that sounds obvious, but really one gets the impression sometimes that the services are run for the convenience of the operators, not the passengers. For far too long, public transport decisions appear to have been made by people who seldom, if ever, use it. And for that reason, I hope there will be many responses from people like me who depend upon public transport because we don't have a car. And at that point, it would be a service that's got the passengers' interests at heart, because it would be designed by passengers. That being so, who actually runs the service is probably not so significant. It's how they run the service that's important.